Join me for a hymn sing at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 24th and Saturday, June 25th at Concordia University, Chicago. This year's theme, Hymns of Comfort. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
Repentance, constantly thwarted, exhausts divine patience. And then, instead of God's mercy, His terrifying justice is made known.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Amos.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Well, greetings, people loved by God. Last podcast, recall, we covered Amos's answer to Amaziah, the priest of Bethel. Amos first reacted to the implication in Amaziah's words that being a prophet was his trade, how he ate his bread. He clarifies that right away. He wasn't a prophet. He wasn't the son or student of a prophet. He was actually just a lowly herdsman who also dressed sycamore figs, whatever they are. But the Lord plucked him up, much as he had plucked up David, and took him from following the flock to go feed the word to Israel, to my people Israel. He remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. But when Amos delivers a devastating word from the Lord to the man who would have the Lord be silenced, that Amaziah's wife would be prostituted, his children slain, his land divided out to others, and that he would die in exile. That was a really hard word. But it was for a hard man who stood in the way of the people of Israel actually hearing the word of God and so repenting. The Lord's saying about millstones comes to mind, doesn't it? A reading from Amos, the 8th chapter, beginning at the first verse. This is what the Lord God showed me. Behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a basket of summer fruit? Then the Lord said to me, the end has come upon my people Israel. I will never again pass by them. The songs of the temple shall become wailings in that day, declares the Lord God. So many dead bodies, they are thrown everywhere. Silence! Hear this, you who trample the needy and bring the poor of the land to an end, saying, when will the new moon be over that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath that we may offer wheat for sale, that we may make the ephah small and the shekel great, and deal deceitfully with false balances, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals and sell the chaff of the wheat. Amos 8, verses 1 through 6. Let us pray. Everlasting God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, grant us your grace that we may make good and diligent study of Holy Scripture, seek and find Christ therein, and through him have eternal life. Graciously grant it, dear Lord God. Amen. So you're ready to ponder more of God's word through the prophet Amos? Let's dig in. Verse 1. This is what the Lord God showed me. Behold, a basket of summer fruit. Even though Amaziah had interrupted him, Amos returns to delivering the visions that Yahweh had given him to share with Israel. Amaziah can despise the word of the Lord, but the prophet simply cannot keep silence about what Yahweh has shown him. Now, if the meaning of this vision leaves you scratching your head, that's understandable. It's based on a word play in the Hebrew that we don't really have a good way of getting into English. More on that in this next verse, verse 2. And he said, Amos, what do you see? And he said, a basket of summer fruit? Then the Lord said to me, the end has come upon my people Israel. I will never again pass by them. As before, Yahweh asks the prophet to describe what he sees, and then Yahweh comments on the vision seen. And here is where you need to know a little bit of Hebrew. The Hebrew word for summer fruit, kayitz, actually sounds like the Hebrew word for the ant, kayitz. Plus, there's probably also in play the notion that as summer fruit is ripe for the plucking, even so Israel has made herself ripe for God's judgment. The Lutheran Study Bible summarizes the intent here very well. Simply put, Israel is threatened with being plucked, thrown into a basket, and devoured by Assyria. As we heard in the previous chapter, when Yahweh says, "I will never again pass by them," the clear intent is, without doing something about their sin, I'm done overlooking it. As we heard in earlier studies, the patience of the Lord is great indeed, but it is always seeking to enable our repentance. There's a beautiful passage in the apocryphal Wisdom of Solomon, and it forms part of the introit, the entrance psalm for the divine service, on Ash Wednesday. It's one of my favorites. "You have mercy on all, O Lord, and abhor nothing you have made. You look past the sins of men, that they may repent. You spare them all, because you are our Lord, our God." That's true. But the words of the psalmist are also true. Psalm 7, verses 12 and 13. "If a man does not repent, God will whet his sword. He has bent and readied his bow. He has prepared for him his deadly weapons, making his arrows fiery shafts." Repentance constantly thwarted exhausts divine patience. And then, instead of God's mercy, his terrifying justice is made known. What happens when God doesn't pass by the people's rebellion anymore? Well, listen. Verse 3. "The songs of the temple shall become wailings in that day, declares the Lord God. So many dead bodies, they are thrown everywhere. Silence." Yet another reference to the music that accompanied their religious rites. Yahweh foretells that when that day arrives, it will not be pleasant songs of praise and thanksgiving that are heard in the temple. Instead, the song will become wailing. First, "So many dead bodies." The survivors will look in shock and horror upon the corpses that litter the streets and houses in the sanctuary area. Another will take up the words, "They are thrown everywhere," as in where they dropped with no care being taken for the task of burial. Third, "Silence." I'm honestly not sure if that means telling the first two verses to be silent, or if it is a reflection on the profound silence that befalls a city that has been plundered. There's no bustle of business, no sound of children playing in the streets, nobody selling or buying anything, just the quiet weeping of the few survivors. Verse 4. "Hear this, you who trample on the needy and bring the poor of the land to an end." Once more, the wealthy and complacent are in the prophet's sights. The covenant that Yahweh established with them actually demanded a far different treatment of their impoverished brethren. Do you remember these words from the Torah? This is Deuteronomy 15, verses 7 through 11. "If among you one of your brothers should become poor, in any of your towns within your land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart or shut your hand against your poor brother, but you shall open your hand to him and lend him sufficient for his need, whatever it may be. Take care, lest there be an unworthy thought in your heart, and you say, 'The seventh year, the year of release, is near,' and your eye look grudgingly on your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry to the Lord against you, and you be guilty of sin. You shall give to him freely, and your heart shall not be grudging when you give to him. Because for this the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in all that you undertake, for there will never cease to be poor in the land. Therefore I command you, you shall open wide your hand to your brother, to the needy, and to the poor in your land." Well, up there in Samaria, instead of opening their hands to bless the poor, they shut their hearts against them, as we hear, verse 5, saying, when will the new moon be over, that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath, that we may offer wheat for sale, that we may make the ephah small and the shekel great, and deal deceitfully with false balances? All about raking in the almighty buck by hook or by crook. First, even though they kept their religious feasts, they were impatient for them to be over so that they could get back to their important work of gathering in more moolah. And when they were able to sell their goods, Amos says they were a bunch of cheats, their fingers on the scale, as the old saying has it. Luther, the greatest of the 16th century reformers, comments on this under the commandment, you shall not steal. Listen. I say the same also about mechanics, workmen, and day laborers. They all follow their evil thoughts and never know enough ways to overcharge people while they're lazy and unfaithful in their work. All these are far worse than burglars, whom we can guard against with lock and bolts, and if caught, can be treated in such a way that they will not commit the crime again. But against unfaithful workers, no one can guard. No one dares to give them an angry look or to accuse them of theft. One would rather lose 10 times as much money from his purse. For here are my neighbors, my good friends, my own servants, from whom I expect every faithful and diligent service, yet they cheat me most of all. The more things change, yeah. Same old, same old. And as Amos makes it clear, none of this escapes Yahweh's eye or his recompense. Verse 6, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals and sell the chaff of the wheat. And there's the worst. Clearly, some in Israel were trafficking in human beings, people who were so poor, they sold themselves into slavery, and the wealthy in Israel were ready to snap up that bargain. You cannot help but think of the 30 pieces of silver which Judas received to sell our Lord into his enemy's hands. To sell the chaff, by the way, is to sell as food, something that has no ability to nourish. That's where we're going to wrap up for today, people loved by God. Next up, the Lord takes an oath by himself that he will never forget any of their deeds. He will remember and visit them with the punishment their deeds demand. He says that on account of this coming judgment, the land itself will tremble, sink, and rise, which means under the hoofs of the invading army that will rise like a flood of the Nile and sweep through the whole land. But then things get very interesting. On that day, God says, he'll make the sun go down at noon and darken the broad daylight. Now, when did that happen? He will turn their feast into mourning, their songs to lamentation, the baldness of mourning or slavery upon every head. And I will make it like the mourning for an only son, and the end of it like a bitter day. Oh, there's much joy we're going to be having with all those accompanying signs of judgment that find their ultimate fulfillment on a hill outside of Jerusalem during the days of Pontius Pilate under a black and lowering sky. And last but not least, God announces that he will send a famine upon the land for the only food by which man truly lives, a famine for hearing the words of the Lord. Till next time, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.